God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for Yuri being able to join our church this morning, to be able to be something that, or rather someone that can continue to help participate in this kingdom building effort here in Prague. I pray, God, as we talk about the kingdom of God and as we try to change our lives and transform our lives, as we allow you to do that, that you will take each step along the way with us, and that we will know that you are with us as we pursue this goal of helping transform and interlock heaven and earth here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to ask a question, as I love to always ask questions. Have you ever wanted something so badly that you would do, like, just about anything for? I mean, for some of you, it might be that you've always wanted to live in Prague, and so you maybe sold everything and you came over here to do something. For others, maybe it's like you wanted this girl or guy so badly that you were, I remember Denise, like, ran in the snow with me when we were dating one time, and she hated that. But nonetheless, she did it because she wanted me so badly. Yeah. Happy Mother's Day. But I have this confession to make for each of you. There was a time in my life, and still is, because I love really nice things. I wanted this speaker system when we were first married. And this speaker system isn't just like your regular Datart think you get in a fancy speaker system. This is like you go to like one of those underground, you know, places that sells these high-end, really nice speakers. Well, I walked into Mr. Toad's in Johnson City, Tennessee, and let me tell you, these speakers, they were awesome. They were so cool. And I wasn't even looking at like the most expensive speakers. See, I was smart. For two reasons. One was that they were cheaper. The second was that if I bought these speakers, they were similar in size to the speakers that I already had bought at Best Buy, which is like a Datart, in hopes that Denise would not even notice that I'd spent $2,000 on the credit card. Clever boy I was. Still am. Well, I remember a weekend, and she hadn't noticed the speakers in the man cave in our house. And I would go down there, and I would crank up the speakers. I'd listen to Eagles in Australia, because that was an awesome concert. And I would turn it up, and I would just be in this good place. It was awesome. And then one day, Denise asked me the question that I feared the most. John, where did these speakers come from? Well, I got them, I really can't even remember. I think I said I got them from a friend, right? Yeah, yeah. I got them from a friend, Mr. Toad, and it was a really good deal. So I was working as a car salesman at the time, so I was pretty sly. And I had said that I got them from a friend at the dealership. Well, I didn't. I said, I think I got them for like a couple $100. Just lying my teeth out. And then, stupid me. Like, how is my wife not going to look at the credit card bill, right? I mean, like, how stupid could I be? Somehow I thought that I would, like, smuggle some money in and pay it off before she even knew it. I don't know. It's just like the logic sometimes that I have, and other people have, I hope. But this really did cause an extreme rift in our marriage. And in fact, I was in charge of finances after this experience. To this day, she will not let me do any of the accounting in our marriage. We still need to work through that. But so we went to counseling. And it was the first year or two of our marriage was really rough. There have been some rough patches, but in the beginning, I probably wasn't ready to be married, if I'm being honest. I was wanting to do my own thing, was hanging out, partying until like 4 in the morning, would come home to my wife, who would have to teach and get up at 6 a.m. It was tragic. Anyway, it's for another story, for another sermon. But the point is that I went to counseling with her, and as we sat in counseling, this counselor, Christian counselor, right? You've got to go to a Christian counselor if you're a Christian. He tells me, John, do those speakers that you bought, do they comfort you at night? And in my head, I wanted to say, well, yeah, they kind of do. They're awesome. But I got what he was saying, and he was like, when you have trouble in life, this is good for you just to know, just for information, you're still young. Are they gonna hold you and tell you that everything is okay? Well, of course not. But you know what? Like, that didn't help me any. He had totally sided with my wife, which was unfair because he failed to see other things. But nonetheless, I tell this story because I ask the question, why is it that we lie? Why is it that we feel the need to not tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth? What do we do that for? Because this false narrative today is that there's the need that we, for some reason, have to like lie to get by. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I don't lie. Baloney. You're lying right now that you don't lie. Because I was reading this book and it said like two-thirds, it was some crazy figures, like two-thirds of the things that come out of your mouth are like lies, like in when they polled these general things. It was something crazy, and I don't remember the statistics. It doesn't matter. The point is that we lie. And we lie because of two things. Because one, a fear. And two, desire. We lie because we're fearful. We're fearful of maybe that job that we're involved in and that, like, you know, you're supposed to do something and somebody higher than you that think is going to help you in life asks you to say something or to hide something. And you're fearful that if you don't do this, that you're going to lose your job, which very well may be a real fear, but who are you loyal to in that moment in time, I ask? Or some of you that are lonely over here and you don't have many friends because you're living in a foreign country, maybe you're fearful that your roommate or your friend or your companion or whoever, that there's something that like, has been eating you up about whatever, and you're just not 100% truthful with them because you're scared that you're going to lose that friendship, or you're scared that the situation is going to change. Or like in my situation, I was scared of my wife in marriage, that I was going to say this and that she was just going to like go off the deep end, which she did. But understandably, thank you, Jenny. Can I get an amen? We are fearful of the things that could happen if we don't tell the truth sometimes. Because it could damage your marriage. It could damage your friendship. It could damage the job that you have and all the other things that we fear, so we lie. The other is desire, and I told that story because I desired these speakers, y'all. They were awesome, and my parents still have them because I didn't want to get rid of them, but I'm glad that they have them now because I think I'm going to leave them there so that it's not a reminder every time my wife listens to them that I have lied to her. But we desire things in life. We want things. Sometimes, like, the Puritans, or not the Puritans, but the Quakers, I was reading in this chapter, the Quakers are the ones that actually invented a set price because of the haggling that went on. They felt that it was part of their inner being that they needed to tell the truth. And so instead of like haggling and this person getting a deal at this price and this person getting a deal at this price, they put a set price when they sold things. Just an interesting fact for each of you today. Oftentimes, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, right? So when we desire something, we just say, well, this person's gonna, like, forgive us, or maybe they'll not ever find out about it, or whatever it might be, and so we go ahead and do it. But whatever all these things involve in your life right now, and I don't know where each of you are in your lying techniques, but I guarantee you that most of them fall under the fear and the desire category. So what is it that Jesus says about lying? Well, we just got through reading this scripture, Matthew 5, 33 through 37, and just for a point of reference, we'll read it again. It says, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. I was thinking this morning, as I was going through my sermon, I'm like, why didn't they talked about, like, black and white hairs. Like, what about me? Like, with the bald, the bald head, did they not have bald people back then? It's just a complete ADD random question. So if any of you have that are good scholars, let me know why they didn't do that. Maybe Jewish people weren't bald, I don't know. But the point is that let your yeses be yes and your noes be no. And there's a lot of things in the Bible that we don't understand, right? When we go to read things, we go, well, what's the context and what's happening here and how do we pull this scripture and make it contextual for our lives today? Well, this, folks, this is pretty simple. It's not very hard to understand to let your yeses be yes and your noes be no. Say what you mean and mean what you say. And there's a lot of things of following through that I could talk about. So the question isn't, is this what Jesus wants us to do? But I think the question that I have is why? Why did Jesus think that it was so important that we be honest with each other? What's the reasoning behind honesty? James Smith says this. He says, lying is a false statement made knowingly with the intent to deceive. It sounds so bad when you say it like that, doesn't it? Lying is not about the correctness of what a person says, but it's about the intent of the heart. Fortunately I didn't speak last week about this, but Terry Ann spoke about lust, like sex and all the kind of stuff like that. And it boiled down to not so much the act, like it says, you know, about adultery and about adultery and everything else, and that you're not supposed to do it. But Jesus takes it a step further. He says, when you look at somebody and you imagine something deeper than just the initial look, that you have committed adultery in your heart. And it's the same thing today. It's the same thing with anger that I talked about a few weeks ago, is that living in the kingdom of God, if we are going to live in the kingdom of God, if we are going to bring heaven and earth together, if we are going to allow Jesus to enter into our lives and enter into our communities and everything else, if the kingdom of heaven is going to become present here, our hearts have to be pure. And I think about, like, the song. It's just interesting because Denise was like, I don't know how I'm going to get any songs to match up with your sermon. But the fear thing, as we, like, I'm a child of God, you know, I don't have these fears. We can say that, but it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to realize that we shouldn't fear certain things because we belong to God, because God loves us. God is a part of us, of who we are and who he is and why he designed us. He wants us. God wants us. Jesus wants us. The Holy Spirit is to live within us. But as we work through these things, I say that because I think about how like easy it is for me to say, well, we just have to have a pure heart. Well, it's hard. It's not that you just say, well, I have a pure heart and we go home and blah, 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 because that's the whole point, is that you come here and confession, as we're talking about lying, I have done terrible at the soul training things the last couple of weeks. I don't know if you guys have been doing them or not, but the soul training is like the application, right? You can hear me say great and wonderful things and good truths, but until you apply them in your lives, does nothing. I mean, I'm glad that you're here and y'all are pretty looking, but I want you to see change in your lives. I want you to see transformation. I want you to see things that God can do in your hearts that purify it so that we can be a part of this kingdom building here on earth. So, there's three different viewpoints about how it is that we see the kingdom of heaven here on earth within the lying context. The first is that living in the kingdom is fearless. And what I mean by that is a little bit of how I touched on we know who we are. We know that we are a child of God. And because we know that we're a child of God, we get that those fears are real. But then no matter what happens in our relationships, no whatever happens in our jobs or situations, that we belong to God, that we are a child of God, and that God is going to be with us through the difficult times of the transparency and authenticity that needs to take place in our lives and in our hearts. We understand that we have, what? A good and beautiful God. Secondly, is that we are living in the kingdom that is of uplifting talk. And I say uplifting talk because lying is not so uplifting. But if we read, it's Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others and according to their needs, that is beneficial to those who listen. If we're living in the kingdom of heaven here on earth, there's something to positive, truthful statements. It's important for us to understand the words that come out of our mouth. It's very important that the words that come out of our mouth are uplifting words, meaning words of encouragement. For example, that it's a place of security. When you're speaking with somebody and they're having a hard day or they're having a hard life or you're speaking with your friend or your spouse or whatever it might be, but that it's coming from a place of love. That when you speak the words out of your mouth, that you ask yourself this question, is that loving? Is this going to help the situation? Is this going to be positive? So it's not just about lying. And we know that lying and being untruthful is not going to necessarily help the situation, right? But you're thinking about that. I would also say that this is a non-judgment zone. The kingdom of heaven is not a judging, fearful, you're a terrible person zone. Because we are all broken people. You know that whole scripture of take the plank out of your eye to get the stick or whatever out of the other person's eye. I'm really good at scripture. But you get the point, is that you're supposed to like look at yourself first. And if we realize that we're all in the same place working towards that, it can be a non-judgment zone. The other is that the kingdom of God is kindness, meaning that we have empathy. When something bad has happened to somebody, truthfulness is, and I'm going to touch on this in just a second, But truthfulness doesn't mean that you have to tell the whole truth, everything, every little detail, because sometimes it's important for us to have empathy with others, that we understand. And second, and really the last part on this is that I have here that it's a place of listening without speaking. Sometimes we just need to go, which is difficult for some of us, right? Sometimes the best way to not lie is just to shut up, right? It's to not say anything. The last is this, Ephesians 4:15. Living in the kingdom is truth in love. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. About a month ago, maybe not even a month ago, I got really frustrated when I was on Facebook. This happens from time to time. But I'd watched this comment of basically a friend of mine back in the States who was bashing the Pope. Bashing is like speaking badly or not being so nice, not saying the kind words, the empathetic words, the good words that we're talking about. And in this clip, what was going on was the Pope was looking at this little boy. And this little boy was 6 years old and had just lost his father from like 2 weeks before. And the little boy was in the crowd and the Pope was like, "Speak, son," you know, like the Pope would say. And he was trying to get him to say what was on his heart, what was going on. And the little boy didn't want to say it. And so he called the little boy up and the little boy went and whispered, you know, it was really cute looking and everything. And he said to the Pope, because they ended up translating what was said, you know, my dad just died and he's an atheist and I want to know, is he going to go to heaven? Now, what was said in the comments were not such nice things, but what the Pope said, I liked. Because the Pope didn't answer the boy directly, because the Pope's not God. The Pope said, is our God a God of love? Is our God a God that would do terrible things to a father that has sent his sons to be baptized? He had four boys, and he had all these boys baptized, you know, in the church. And he went on and asked the crowd, and the crowd kind of answered the question saying that there's no way that dad's going to go to hell or whatever, or to heaven. But the point of the story is this, is that the Pope was criticized because he wasn't 100% like, this is what's going to happen. And so my friends that were like, you know, well, the scripture says this, then this is what it is. And somebody told me recently that I like what they said is that, well, if that's the case, if we've got the scripture, then what do we need God for? See, speaking truth in love is being empathetic, it's being understanding, it's knowing when to just be realistic with a six-year-old boy to know that what would happen if the Pope said, yeah, your dad's not going to be in heaven, what would that do to that boy? And I'm not saying that it needs to be false truths, but he spoke about the character and the love that God has. And so living in the kingdom is the truth in love when we speak about people. We use the Holy Spirit to guide us. We use our minds and our hearts and our logic and all that in it and the surroundings to make the right decision. It's not an excuse to lie. I'm not saying that, okay? So, finally, just to recap, is living in the kingdom is living without fear. Meaning, we don't have to lie to just get by. You know, we're understanding that the fear and the desires are there, but that we understand that we are a child of God. The second is that living in the kingdom is uplifting. It's positive. It's encouraging. When people are in your presence, they should feel comfortable and not judged. They should feel that they can share anything with you and vice versa. And that's the environment that we want here, as a side note. And living in the kingdom is truth and love. Living in the kingdom is living with the Holy Spirit guiding your every word, that you speak truth. And sometimes like if you've got a drug addict, you know, I'm just thinking of this as an example. If you've got somebody that's addicted to drugs and it's wrecking the life of a family, sometimes truth and love is like literally dragging them to a place with a group of people and saying, we love you and you need to stop because your life is a wreck. With love and truth, right? Okay. This week's training, are you ready for it? I want you, this is going to be funny for some of you. Some of you are going to be clueless. Do I have your suspense yet? I want you to get monk wild, right? Get monk wild, like a monk, you know, like the guy that's bald on top, all right? Because, like I said before, some of the best things that we can do to not lie is to not speak. And I can see some of you are going to be really excited about this for your spouses. But what I want us to do is, if it's possible, I want you to go 24 hours without saying a word this week. Yeah, 24 hours without saying a word. Now, some of you, that may not be possible because of your job, so then maybe you need to think about your day off. And your day off be... Now, side note also is that, like, if there's a fire going on and you see something, like, you can get out of character for, like, a brief second, okay? Like, if it involves saving somebody's life, you can say, okay, I can come out of this. I don't want to come back next week and hear this terrible news and that you could have saved a life. I was listening to what John was saying. And then the other is this, is that if you can't do that, but if you can, and this would be much better, because remember, soul training is application, and that's the whole point of the whole transformation, is that I want you to go one day without lying. And what I mean by this is just what I said. Let your yeses be yes and your noes be no. Let your intentions be truthful and honest. And be thoughtful about what comes out of your mouth. And if you lie, don't let it go like a slippery slope. Just be like, sorry, God. And if you lie to somebody, then you say, Rob, I'm sorry, I totally just lied to you. Can you please forgive me? And you do it on the spot because you're thinking about it, right? So that's it. That's the soul training for this week. You have to not say a word for 24 hours, and you can write things down. Like if you have to, if you're, you know, married, some of you guys are married or living or whatever, and you have to communicate something, like to your roommate, then you just write it out with your hands and a pencil or a pen and paper or a keyboard or whatever it might be. That's going to be hard, but I'm going to do it. And I want you to ask me if I did it next Sunday. And I'm going to ask each of you to do it. And then if you lie about it, I'm going to know, because we just talked about lying, and I'm going to ask you if you lied. So that's the challenge. That is living in the kingdom of God, is speaking truth and love. And I am not excited about it, but I am. So I really think that as we try to change and transform our hearts and living in the good and beautiful life, that if we can eliminate lying as a part of our daily lives, that we will see good fruits from that. And others, more importantly, will see good fruits from that. Yes, sir. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, and as a tip, like, you know, if there's things that have to be done or you have to speak with people, like, you want to try to plan ahead, you know. You don't just, like, I don't want you today to just all of a sudden say, I'm going to do the Monk Wild thing. You know, I don't want you to do 24 hours today. Maybe like schedule it later in the week when you've had time to set it all up. Or maybe you need like a time that in your, you know, in your home. And I'm going to do this with my kids. That's going to be awesome. Anyway, sorry, just got a really fun thought. Let's go to God in prayer right now. And this is a time where you can confess and you can pray yourself, that you can say those in your own native language, your own tongue, as you need to. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing me to be truthful in this message, as hard as it is. I pray that you will help us to change our perspective on what lying maybe is, that maybe it's a matter of us tweaking things just a little bit. Lord, I pray that the time that we have 24 hours of silence, God, that it will be a time that we draw closer to you, and that you will not make it easy for us, but that you will help us to rely on you and your Holy Spirit to get us through those 24 hours, that we will be able to be creative with that. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the people that are here, and I thank you for the people that are not here. And I pray that as we continue to move in a direction as a church, that you will bring up people that have ideas and that you have burdens that you've given them on their hearts of what we need to do as a church and how to reach this community. I pray for those that are hurting because of war in this world. I pray for those that have lost somebody near and dear to them, God, that you will be with them and that you will give them peace that goes beyond all understanding. And God, I pray for those that are sick, that you will bring healing to their heart, to their body, whatever it is, that you will help us, that you will raise us from the grave, God, that you will help us die to self. In Jesus' name.